Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, the close relationship between public investment efficiency and economic growth.
Public capital is much scarcer in the inefficient country, which certainly would make it poorer and hinder growth. But what it means is that if you can manage to build an additional piece of public capital, an additional road, it's probably more valuable in the inefficient country because it's scarcer.
While many economists would argue public investment projects in highly efficient countries tend to have a greater impact on growth, recent research by some IMF economists suggests that's not necessarily the case. Andy Berg is a deputy director in the IMF's Institute for Capacity Development and co-authored a research paper that shows the impact on growth from public investment spending is similar in both high and low efficiency countries.
So, first of all, why are countries often encouraged to increase public investment, even in hard times when it would seem rather counterintuitive? Why is public investment generally seen as a good thing?
Well, we started work on this question years ago when the times were not so hard. But the question remains relevant now. And we're talking about poor countries, about developing countries mostly. And one aspect of a country being poor is that they have poor public capital. They have lousy roads. They have poor power. They don't have good airports. They have poor public infrastructure. And part of developing is to build that infrastructure. You know, if you ask firms in poor countries, what's holding you back? If you ask owners of firms, what's holding you back? Why can you not expand output? Often they talk about things like expensive transportation costs or expensive energy.
But a lot of the research out there argues that the benefit to any given public investment would depend largely on the efficiency of or how efficiently the project is carried out. And your research suggests otherwise. Is efficiency of public investment a factor?
Well, people have long debated the merits of additional public investment, the rate of return, how useful is it really? There's no question that rich countries have good public capital and less rich countries often have worse public capital. But the challenge is, can governments make these investments in a way that yields growth? Can it pay off? The history is full of examples of countries that try and do public investments that don't pay off, where they build factories that are unproductive or roads that deteriorate quickly and that don't end up being useful, and so on. So people are suspicious in a sense. And they remember, some people remember way back to the 1970s, when many countries engaged in large increases in public investment spending.
Not necessarily only poor countries, advanced economies as well.
Advanced countries too. But in particular, many developing countries back in the 70s engaged in large increases on the grounds that this was key to development. And the story of those episodes of public investment booms was mostly a sad one, where countries did not get the growth they hoped for. And they ended up borrowing a lot in the end to finance some of it. And the debt crisis of the 80s and 90s followed for many of these countries. So it's very important to consider in any particular case whether it's wise to increase public investment. In that context, people have paid increasing attention to the concept of public investment efficiency. By efficiency, people mean something pretty precise, which is you spend a dollar, but you don't actually get a dollar of public capital. Now, what does that mean? It could be that, a proper road should require, say, 100 tons of cement. But because it's poorly managed, you have to put in 200 tons of cement to get the same road. So while that road might be valuable, it's not efficiently produced or efficiently built. Or it could be just corruption, that, the government allocates $100 to road building, but somehow, say, $50 ends up in people's pockets and not in roads.
But how do you measure the actual efficiency? Is this reflected on the growth of the economy?
Well, in fact, it's very hard to measure efficiency. There have been very few efforts to really go down into microeconomic data and to look at a project and say, how much did this road cost, say, in Malawi compared to how much a road might have cost in Mexico? And can we use those to cost to measure the efficiency of the investment spending in the two different countries. There's a little work on that, but it's hard to do because, you know, the conditions are so different in Malawi. The cost structure in the economy is different. There might be fewer mountains in Malawi than in Mexico. And so it's very hard to make that comparison. So mostly at the IMF, what we do is generally we look at the processes that governments use to choose and to make investments and judge them as to their effectiveness. So we ask, do they do proper project appraisals? Do they have a system to implementation capacity that seems strong and robust and that can manage costs well? So we sort of measure, in a sense, the functioning of the bureaucracy. And we suppose, which is reasonable to suppose, that that is related to this idea of efficiency.
Hmm. So how does your research, this recent research here, how does it differ from other research that's been done recently on this topic?
Well, what has been said in the literature and said recently at the IMF in many places is in particular that countries where the investment process is inefficient will get less bang for their buck for their public investment spending. And generally it follows they should do less of it. And of course, that sounds like an eminently reasonable thing to say. How can that not be true? If country A spends a dollar and gets a dollar of public capital, country B spends a dollar and only gets 50 cents of public capital, of course, country A is going to get a bigger growth impact from its public investment spending. So that view is well embedded in the literature and in recent policy papers of the IMF. And it's, of course, an eminently sensible view. What we were doing is we were building a model, a fairly complicated model, designed to construct these scenarios for countries where we would make some assumptions about the rate of return to capital, how valuable are the roads, also about the efficiency, how easy is it to build, how good a job do they do of actually building those things, what it will do for growth, taxes, debt, all that stuff. But we made this discovery when we ran our scenario, let's suppose this country is going to increase investment spending from 5% to 8% of GDP for 5 years and then keep it up there. And we suppose that the investment spending is fully efficient. We would see that the country would have a certain increase in growth. And then we'd say, okay, well, let's suppose now the country is inefficient, that it only converts a dollar of spending to 50 cents of public capital. What will happen to growth then? And when we ran our model, we got the exact same growth output as in the first case. And we thought, that can't be right. How can that be right? And we looked at the algebra, we looked at the model, and we kind of broke it down and made it simpler. And we realized that that is right. And it's in a way a very simple point. The paper actually, in terms of math, the whole point in the paper can be done in two lines of math. But then we spend a lot of time trying to explain how it works. And let me try and give you the intuition. Let's go back. Let's compare these two countries, the one that's fully efficient and the one that is inefficient. Now, remember, this country that's inefficient has always been inefficient, okay? What that means is two things. It means that when they spend a dollar, they only get 50 cents. But the other things it means is they have a lot less public capital installed. You know, we knew they were investing, say, 5% of GDP, but really a lot of it was being wasted. So when you think about how much capital they'd managed to build up over the years, not very much. So if you compare that inefficient country to the efficient country, public capital is much scarcer in the inefficient country.
And the lack of public capital would hinder growth.
Which certainly would make it poorer and hinder growth. But what it means is that if you can manage to build an additional piece of public capital, an additional road, it's probably more valuable in the inefficient country because it's scarcer. We, as a general matter, when we build models about public investment and growth, when we think about growth and public capital, we tend to think that the more public capital you have, the less valuable each additional unit of it is. That's a basic feature of the way we think these economies tend to work. So that, you know, that first road from the capital city to the port is super important. The second road from the capital city to the second port city, it's still valuable, less important. And so on. Clearly, that's a generalization. We can think of reasons why that doesn't hold in particular cases. But as a general matter, that's how we tend to think it works. And there's some evidence that that's how it works. So back to the inefficient country. Yeah, they only get 50 cents worth of roads. But they have half as many roads as the other country. And so we have to raise our sense of the rate of return to that bit of capital that they do manage to install is going to be higher. At the same time as it's harder to build for them because they're going to be wasting. And in our standard models, in the standard way we tend to put things down, almost everyone, those two effects exactly offset, in fact. There's a scarcity effect, and there's this sort of, you know, waste or direct inefficiency effect, and that they go in opposite directions.
So what does this mean, you know, in the current state of the global economy such as it is? I mean, there's a lot of countries out there that with you know, falling revenues and increasing debt, what are the policy implications of what you're saying? I mean, what does it mean for these countries?
This is not just a mathematical curiosity or something like that. I mean, it speaks to, in a way, how we want to think about development. There are countries that really emphasize that they want to give their aid, for example, to countries that really can use it well, the efficient countries, you might say. And so their aid programs are aimed at validating that countries really spend the money well. Then there are other countries that say, well, we really want to give to needy countries where things are, you know, we don't want to give to countries that already have a lot of stuff. We want to give to where they really need it most. And both, and our point really is that both of those are valid strategies. It's hard to say that one is better than the other from the point of view of generating growth. But to ignore one or the other feature is to get it wrong. To say, well, we really should discourage inefficient countries from increasing their public investment spending is simply too limited a perspective.
It would be counterproductive.
Well, you know, I'm not saying it's we should always, I am often teased by my colleagues for proposing that, you know, inefficient countries should really invest the most. We're not saying that either. You have to look and see how needy is the country in terms of capital. What's the rate of return to the capital once it's installed on the one hand? And on the other, how much money will it cost to actually build it? How efficient are they? And then there are a host of other considerations that go along with it. You know, our broader work agenda in this area has not been just about efficiency, but it's been about assessing the macroeconomic impact of public investment spending, including in tough times, and about the risks for debt sustainability and the benefits for growth. And you still have to pay attention to that. But you have to look at that whole piece, all those factors together somehow, and not just pick out efficiency. Let's not kid ourselves. Changing the way governments' bureaucracies function is hard. And the evidence is that it can take a long time. And so I think we should avoid the easy answer, just increase efficiency. It's easy to say, it's extremely hard to do, I think. And so we need to keep that big picture and both sides really of the coin of efficiency and scarcity as we advise countries on how to manage their public investment budget.
That was Andy Berg, a deputy director in the IMF's Institute for Capacity Development and co-author of a research paper entitled Some Misconceptions About Public Policy and Growth. You can read this working paper and many others at imf.org. You can also hear more podcasts like this one on SoundCloud or iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts.